Christ's work was to bring God's dominion in the least way possible through his death on the cross. See, in the middle of death that has dominion and domination over all of us, Christ's resurrection, it is in fact the end of death's dominion over mankind. Which means you don't live your life going to an ending point. As a Christian, we move our life to the beginning point. That relationship with God that begins a whole new chapter of eternity for us. And so we have to then ask negatively. Since this is the positive aspect, things we control, what is the negative aspect? Well, it is possible then that you are relieving yourself or others of their God-given responsibility. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 6 through 12, I'd like to read to you briefly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 through 12. You'll notice here that Paul says it's not your duty to relieve others of their responsibility, and it's not your duty to try to work to relieve yourself of the responsibility of dominion. Now we command you, brothers, says Paul, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourself know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any one of you. It was not because of we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. If any of you is not willing to work, let him not eat. That's a really hard verse, Paul. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now, such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ, do their work quietly and earn their own living. Now, I understand that social welfare becomes part of our responsibility, but there is a soft tyranny that says you don't have to work at all to receive the bread that you have. As Christians, we cannot live that way. You have to work because God gave you work. Work is a good and a positive thing. It is part of you being in the image of God that there is a task for you to do well. And if it isn't a task that you like, then do it quietly and earn your wage that way. But we cannot sit by and say, well, it is good that people should receive something for nothing, when in fact God has given them a responsibility to work. We have to work. We have to have a task about us. And if you are retired, then don't think that your work has somehow come to an end. You're not relieving yourself of that burden and becoming a busybody. But your work is changing. It's taking on a new form. Are there people in the hospital that you can share Christ with? Are you free now to spend more time teaching your grandchildren the Word of God? What are you free to do? Get the work done. We aren't to work so hard so that we acquire enough leisure so that we do not have to work. A lot of us have taken that mentality that the purpose of life is to make things as easy as possible. But that's not what God teaches to be in His image is. We work to the best of our ability to bring God the best glory we can through whatever job and task He gave to us, meaning that there is just as much dignity in ditch digging as there is in the surgeon in his surgery room. There's just as much dignity with the college student who's working hard as a construction worker, as long as they both recognize God's authority. And they are living in such a manner to live in dominion with others and not domination. And so then, I don't want you to think, brothers and sisters, that dominion somehow allows you to also have all responsibility upon yourself. We get into a side of domination when we begin to think that we have a responsibility for everything to be perfect and it all falls on our shoulders. That is not what dominion is. You say, well, I'm having guests over at the house and I forgot the rolls. Can you have Thanksgiving dinner without the rolls? Are we going to be okay? And you say, well, I forgot and it ruins your mood. I'm actually specifically drawing from an illustration of one time I was at a friend's house in high school for Thanksgiving, and I went over to their house and everybody was in dead quiet. Nobody mentioned the rolls. Well, I had just arrived. I didn't know about the rolls. And so I said, where are the rolls? The powder keg exploded and the mother went off the wheels and said, I can't believe that my husband forgot the rolls and I have to go and do it myself. Storms out of the house and goes to get the rolls, and Thanksgiving then becomes quietly, and the father pulls me aside and goes, son, don't talk about the rolls again. Fair. But all of us have had that experience where we think that the perfect way that something is to go falls on our shoulders, and when it doesn't, it becomes a mood-ruining thing. But if Thanksgiving is really about Thanksgiving, then whether the roles are present or not doesn't change whether God is present and that we are to have the peace of Him amidst ourselves. You don't have to make things perfect because God has given you dominion. That is allowing God's blessings to dominate your mood. The way that your house looks doesn't reflect on God's glory unless you've become so idle that it's no longer being taken care of. But you do the best of your ability cheerfully. And then when it doesn't work out, because it's not gonna, it's just not going to work out perfectly every time, then we cheerfully say, I did the best that I could. And we don't dominate other people and try to make them as upset as we are over the fact that roles are missing. Or over the fact that we lost something and can't find our keys and are throwing everything aside and yelling at our children because we can't find the keys. Inanimate objects do not rule us. We have dominion over them and over our nature. And we can have the peace of Christ even in situations that the rest of the world would say, you have the right to be angry. I may have the right, but I also have the Savior. I have the right to fall on my knees and to ask Him for help in my anger. I have the right to ask Him for help with my lust. I have the right to ask Him for help when I want to steal things because my parents taught me to steal. Because I recognize His authority over my dominion. And so when my dominion is all shaky and thrown out of whack, I say, wait a second, God said, let us make man in our image. I'm not taking a picture of myself when I do my house a certain way. I'm reflecting who God is in the way that I do things. And I recognize the way that God is was to become a baby. And to take on the dust of the world and die on a cross as a servant to the least of these. That's dominion. So I want you to see this. And the reason why I wanted to use PowerPoint is to get this point across. First, God made man in the image of God. God made man in the image of God. Second, God allows us to have dominion, not domination. Third, God commands us to have good governance and not tyranny over all of our relationships and over our goods. We are to govern them well, but not tyrannically. And this then comes back this way. Three, Christ's birth was God's good governance over sin's domination. Second, Christ's resurrection was God's dominion over death's domination. And then, therefore, Christ is the perfect image of God. God created us to be in His image, but He gave you His Son to reflect Him perfectly so that you can look into Scriptures and say, wait a second, death isn't to have domination over me. In fact, he was born as an infant so that I would understand that the least among us are in fact the greatest. And He puts into the mouth of babes so that He would thwart His enemies. Satan is defeated by the coup of a child in a manger because that child is perfectly the image of God. Follow His example if you want to learn how to have dominion over creation, because He alone is our Savior. So we're going to come to a time of prayer and closing here. We'll sing our song and then we'll do the Lord's Supper together. And I want you to see the Lord's Supper as a perfect image of how God loves us. He broke His body for us, poured out His blood that we may be made free. His yoke is light. His burden is easy. But because it's a yoke, there's still work that needs to be done. The harvest is plentiful. So this day, let us refresh ourselves in the blood of Christ. Call upon Him and ask Him for our help in this week to live out the dominion that God has given us. Let's pray.